Welcome to the Power Press Podcast. My name is Mackenzie Bennett. I'm your host. Here on this show, we share information to empower your podcast. This week's guest is Chris Savage.
Hello.
Hello. Thanks for being on.
Yeah, glad to be here.
Been kind of a long time going. I reached out to you a couple months ago in November, I think, and it's now February.
Yes. And as a political person, I was deep into it at that point. So.
Oh, yeah. You were in the throes of everything.
Totally. Totally. And then I needed some decompression time, which never happened. So.
No, I assume not. So we'll talk about your show. It's Eclecta Blog.
Correct. That is,
okay, good. I was glad I was pronouncing that correctly.
You did. It rarely happens, actually. But the show itself is called The Sit and Spin Room with LOL, GOP, and Eclecta Blog. And it's offshoot of our blog, Eclecta Blog.
Okay. Gotcha. So we're going to talk about that. And we have some news. I have a chronicle. And maybe if we're lucky, I'll get in a PowerPress tip as well. I'm ready to just start talking about an article. What about you?
Let's do it.
Okay. This is from Blueberry's friend Daniel Lewis. He hosts the Audacity to Podcast and has a whole network of shows and recently put out an article or a blog post on his show titled How to Continue Podcasting When Your Life is Unpredictable. This is super helpful, and I know very poignant in Daniel's life right now as he just became a father for the first time recently and has had kind of a tumultuous, I don't know if that's the correct word, because I'm not, you know, that sounds bad to me, but he's kind of had a crazy year. So this is definitely not surprising.
Yeah, isn't that supposed to be How to Podcast with No Sleep at All?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure that is coming. So. Seemed to have some really good points, though.
Article, because I think no matter who you are, you're going to have life and intervening in what you do in terms of your podcast. So
you will. You 100% will. He made 10 specific points in this article, and they're all very helpful, but I think actually my favorite was number one, make life your highest priority.
I have to agree with that. I mean, if you're not healthy in all ways, you know, in terms of your mental state and stuff, then doing a podcast can be very difficult anyway.
It will. So. It's not going to be exactly the best quality content that you're putting out there if your life is just going insane.
Sure. Too much distraction. Actually, my favorite was to be honest with your audience. It was be open with your audience, because you know, we're pretty new. I think we've done 20 altogether, and we're, you know, we don't have any fancy equipment. We're just using a single microphone. And about four or five podcasts ago, a friend of ours came to the door with a dog, and we have another dog who does not like other dogs. So my dog was going totally ape, you know, in the background. And so our listeners got to listen to my dog barking for about 5 minutes of the podcast. So, but people seem pretty fine with it. So.
We always get this in our head that it has to be perfect, but people understand that a lot. I mean, if it's not coming from like NPR or whatever it is, they understand that you're doing this in your home, most likely.
Right, exactly.
So, that you have a life.
I feel like I need to get a picture up someday so people can say, oh, actually sounds pretty good considering, you know.
Where it's coming from.
Yeah. So, but you can do a lot with a good microphone and a, you know, set of speakers. And
I know. And the people that just sit in their closets and let the clothes absorb everything, that works too.
I haven't gone that far, but you never know. I do it with another person, so it'd probably be awkward, actually.
Yeah, that probably would not go over so great. That one that you liked, be open with your audience. I really liked the way he ended it. His last sentence of that was, so when you're human with your audience, they'll be human back.
Right, and I found that. You know, we made some reference, sort of joking reference to the dog on Twitter when we were sort of promoting the episode. And you know, some people, I actually got some really fun responses back. One woman said she was playing it on her house speakers, and when my dog went crazy, her dog would go crazy. And another woman was jogging, and she kept looking around for a dog every time my dog barked. So, you know, it was human. It was fun.
It works.
And it gave us a chance to interact with our listeners a little bit, which we don't normally get to do.
It definitely does. There was another one on here that said, continuously plan and prepare new content. And he mentioned two different ways to prepare your content on the go, Evernote and Workflowy. And I've used Evernote and it works great.
Yeah, I use Evernote, not for the podcast, but I use it for a lot of other parts of my life. So I have to give that some thought about just sort of keeping notes, because, you know, the podcast that I have is a political podcast. And so we're talking about sort of stories that are relevant in politics. And every once in a while, I'll be driving down the road and listening to NPR or something, or another podcast maybe. And something will come up and I'll go, I want to make sure we talk about that, you know, this week. And I should probably figure out how to do the audio part of Evernote and just do some audio notes so that I can come back to that. Cause I always end up forgetting about it. So
yeah, it's actually bringing me back to, I had an old boss that would just leave notes on his phone all day. He'd probably at the end of the day, he'd have 15 different notes that were 15 seconds that he would record on his phone of just things that he wanted to remember. And I think that would actually be super helpful for me to do as well.
If I did that, I would probably end up relying on it so much that if I didn't do it, then I would forget everything. So I have to be careful.
True. Those kind of things. There's a fine line there.
Yeah, right. Exactly. But my best ideas come when I'm driving to work in the morning. So I'd have to come up with some sort of audio way to do that. But I think you can do that with Evernote. I'm not sure about Workflow. That's a new one I've not heard of.
I had never heard of that one either.
Nice thing about Evernote is that it goes on all platforms. So you can use it on your phone. You can use it on your iPad or your tablet. You can use it on your desktop computers and stuff. So once you've put something in there, then you can access it everywhere, which is kind of convenient.
Yeah. Things like that always end up being more helpful than you necessarily thought they would in the beginning.
Yeah, true. Exactly.
Using them to their full potential.
Definitely.
A lot of the time.
Another one that I liked was this idea of sort of reinventing yourself. You said discard old plans and make new ones with flexibility. And I think that, you know, that's one of the things is we started out, we had an idea of what it was going to be like, and it really changed fairly quickly. Like we thought we would have interviews periodically. We ended up having, you know, a third of every episode is an interview with somebody. So I think that, you know, in our situation, our format is sort of evolving as we go, and we're just trying to be comfortable with that.
That's a smart way to do it though. Just kind of let it flow and don't try to control it that much, because it's not going to stay that way. Yeah.
Our challenge is getting feedback from folks. And so far, the feedback is whether or not, if people like it or not, is how many people listen to it. We don't get an awful lot of feedback in terms of what people like. So, although oddly, and this is the opposite of the way it usually is, the feedback we get is usually positive. I rarely hear of anybody saying, oh, this is wrong, or you should have done this differently. Usually you only hear from people that are upset with you about something. So it's a little rare to have the opposite. But that's one of the things that I'm trying to figure out what to do with ours is, you know, how to get feedback from folks so that we're trying to make, you know, so we're being more interesting for folks.
Right. You're trying to get out the information that people actually want.
Yeah. And have conversations that, you know, are compelling to people.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Daniel mentioned if you're having this unpredictable period in your life, or if just everything feels unpredictable, then at some point you have to accept that that's what it is and adjust your podcast schedule to that.
Yes.
And, you know, make that what it is, because it's not going to go back to the way it was before necessarily.
Yeah, I'm a great admirer of people like Dan Savage, for example, with his Savage Lovecast. They publish that podcast at the same time on the dot every week.
It's amazing.
You know, we record ours, generally speaking, we record ours on Sunday. And for me, it's like we record this thing and then I have to get up and the next morning before I go to work and produce it basically, and then get it uploaded and posted before I go to work. So I'm up at, you know, 5 a.m. on Monday mornings trying to get this all put together. And sometimes it just doesn't happen. Or if the person we're interviewing isn't available until Monday night, you know, we don't get it out till Tuesday. So it's, I quickly reduced my expectations, which is his number two, and just, you know, tried to be a little more flexible myself so that I wasn't stressing out about not having it out at, you know, 6:02 a.m. every Monday morning.
Oh, definitely. I release new episodes on Friday afternoons typically. And if this was not a podcast that was associated to a job and I knew had a dedicated listenership specifically because of PowerPress is available to so many people and I know that this is information that people want, if this was just myself doing a podcast, I highly, highly doubt I would be as consistent.
Yeah, if it was my job, it would be a little easier to do that. Or if I had staff, you know, like I'm sure Dan Savage has. So
exactly.
I came away from this article feeling a little less stressed out about things, which is good. I appreciated that part of it.
It's kind of nice to have it just roll off your back a little bit after you read this.
Yeah, doesn't have to be perfect. Just has to be good.
Exactly. It has to be good enough for you to be happy with it, but it doesn't have to be perfect.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I always have to remind myself that the ones that seem like they're perfect, A, they're not always perfect if you listen closely to them, and B, they probably have a staff of people doing it. So, you know, keep that in mind.
Yes. Keep that in mind. And especially you, because you're 20 episodes in. You are just, I'm sure, getting better by the episode.
Yeah, definitely. Our audio is sounding better. I mean, I'm learning how to make adjustments to deal with the limitations that we have. And we're getting into a bit more of a rhythm because there's two of us and we're both doing it at the same time. We're establishing more of a rhythm and a back and forth that works well for us. And just generally, you know, for example, we typically try to record the interview first so that as we're recording the rest of the podcast, we know what's coming because it comes at the end of the podcast usually. So
right. We're
getting better as we go. It's becoming less of a, it's becoming less frightening to me, you know, to know that I have, you know, an hour and a half to get, you know, this thing produced and out the door before I go to work in the morning. And the better I get at the audio part of it, the less work I have to do afterwards. So
I think the more you do it, the possibility of something that you hated and or maybe frightened of become the fun parts.
Yeah, so I agree with that. Yeah.
That's good.
Like when we totally botch it and I have to make a patch, you know, I have to like splice two pieces together. I kind of now take pride in the fact that you can't even tell.
I know. I had one of those a couple weeks ago. She sat on her porch for the podcast, which I thought was awesome because I could sometimes hear like the wind chime in the background and I was really jealous.
Right. Yeah, right.
And at the end, she said, when we stopped recording, she said, "I'm really sorry. There were ambulances going by at some point. I don't know if you heard them." And I didn't pick up on it while we were having the conversation, but when I was editing, I was able to find it and splice it out and
nice.
Was actually very happy with that.
Yeah, there you go. A new skill you didn't know you needed to have.
Exactly. Okay, so people can find this article on theaudacitytopodcast.com, how to continue podcasting when your life is unpredictable. Thanks, Daniel. Okay, I haven't done one of these in a while, but I do the Podcast Chronicle, which is where I kind of give you my update on how I feel as a podcaster or, you know, what exactly is going on with the show right now. And recently I've been thinking about how I want to get PowerPress tips and information into the episode at some point and do this on a regular basis, like every episode. However, while I am the host of the PowerPress podcast, I am not this guru on how it works, and I am not the person with this list of hints and tips and all of this information about how to make your life easier with PowerPress. So I need to kind of bulk up on that and have those prepared instead of remembering to get them the day before.
Nice.
So maybe I have a feeling it's just going to be pestering my coworkers until they give me enough.
Find the really smart podcasters and have them do it for you.
I know. I'm going to have to pester my coworkers, people that I know have been using PowerPress for a very long time, and just scour the internet because there are tips about PowerPress all over the internet. So I'm sure I can find some there too.
Definitely. The internet will solve all of your problems.
It really will. Without the internet, podcasting would not exist. So,
but there's that, yes.
There's that.
Nice.
Yeah, so that is my podcasting chronicle for this week. And I hope to do better with it next week and have some awesome PowerPress tip for you that I'm sure will be new to me as well.
Well, here's a tip that I have. How's that?
That's a fantastic start, man.
As I said, I get up and, you know, I'm usually literally uploading it through PowerPress as I'm like, I'll do that and go get in the shower and get ready for work while that's uploading.
Mm-hmm.
And our podcasts are over an hour, so, you know, it takes a fairly long time. And before I was uploading it through the app or through the back end of the dashboard of WordPress itself, and occasionally I would click on it to check and see what the progress was. And one morning I did that two or three times and it stopped the upload and I had to start it again. And so now I go directly to Blueberry and upload it manually through the website, and then I can mess around with my browser and stuff, and it doesn't kick me out of the upload. So, and I can still check on it periodically because it's in a separate window.
That makes sense.
My PowerPress tip of the week. Said the guy who really knows very little about it, because he's only done 20 podcasts.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. This is episode 39 for me, and okay. I'm not handing out any tips right now. So. Nice. I can't really.
Bad experience. So.
Yeah. Well, that's really good to know. For people that have exceptionally long episodes, it might be better to upload in Blueberry, depending on your work process, that type of thing.
Yeah, because it takes me probably close to 25 minutes to upload these.
Well, okay, your episodes are an hour, so tell us what your show is about.
Okay, so this started out with a blog. I've been blogging for about 14 years at a place called Eclectablog. Started out as a non-political blog. It was mostly just eclectic things that I thought were interesting, thus the name. But over time, it has evolved into a progressive liberal website, primarily focused on Michigan politics, but not exclusively. So we're talking, you know, maybe 60% Michigan politics, and then the rest being national and sometimes international politics. Over time, I brought on other writers. So we've got a staff of about 5 or 6 writers now. One of the people that writes for me, the other primary contributor, is a guy named Jason Sattler. And he goes by the name of LOLGOP on Twitter. And he's got about 340,000 followers. He's somewhat of a phenomenon on Twitter in the political realm. And he and I both live in the Ann Arbor area, and we've become pretty good friends. His wife and my wife are good friends. We're good friends. We go out to dinner a lot. And I realized over time that we'd go out to dinner and my wife and his wife would be having conversations, and he and I were sort of in our own little sphere of world, you know, talking politics back and forth and kind of ignoring the whole world around us. Mm-hmm. I'm like, man, we should just put a microphone here and record this. It would make a great podcast. And so those kind of discussions went on for a while, and I thought, well, we'll get past this election, because I'm also a local party chair, and so I'm very involved politically, locally, and I just didn't have the bandwidth for this. And then for some crazy reason, I got it in my head late September, right before a major presidential election, that I was going to start a podcast in the middle of all the other things that I was doing.
There's no better time to start a podcast than before an election.
Exactly. But the timing turned out pretty well. People are paying a lot more attention to politics at that point. So mm-hmm. I think that helped get us launched a little bit. So this is basically an offshoot of the blog. And it's become really pretty impressively popular pretty quickly. So we're to the point now where, you know, we do an annual fundraising dinner, because all the writers at Eclectablog get paid. We do an annual fundraiser in addition to quarterly fundraisers. And the annual fundraiser is a big party, basically, where we have people come in and, we have some kind of an event. One year we gave Congressman John Dingell, gave him the title of the Dean of Twitter, because he was the Dean of the House, because he was the oldest or longest serving member of the House of Representatives. So and he's also hilariously funny on Twitter. So, and then we had him read some of his greatest hits tweets. So this year we're going to actually record the podcast live at the party. So we're hoping that will attract more people, and it'll, you know, create a little buzz for the podcast as well as more attention for the fundraiser.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah. So like I said, we started out hoping to do interviews periodically, and it's gone on. We've just done them every week, and we're getting some pretty major folks, you know, in the political realm on the show. So like last week we had a guy named Andy Slavitt, who was actually in charge of Medicare and Medicaid under the Obama administration, and he's like a pretty big deal dude. Had, you know, national political figures on, so it's just sort of evolving and sort of taking on a life of its own. And I actually start to look forward to it every week, even though it's a fair amount of work to do it. I enjoy the back and forth that we have, and I enjoy the talking to people that I probably wouldn't get a chance to talk to otherwise.
The opportunities that come up because of a podcast can range all over the place, but end up being pretty special.
Yeah. So we'll see. We've only been at it since last fall, so we'll see how we go.
Great. What are you doing to promote are you promoting both the blog and the podcast, or just the podcast separately, or how are you kind of working that?
So every episode is a post on the blog, mm-hmm. and we've got a graphic for it. My wife does graphics work for us. She's a photographer. And so the show notes are basically a blog entry. And then both of us have, you know, fairly extensive Twitter followers. I'm not nearly as successful on Twitter as Jason is, but you know, he's got 340,000 followers, I think, on Twitter, and I've got something like 17,000. So promoting it on Twitter, and we promote it throughout the week. Obviously, I tweet out a link to the initial post, but then we'll take snippets, for example, of, you know, something that one of our interviewers said, or some topic that we covered, or some funny spin on what we talked about, and tweet a link to the podcast throughout the week, you know, with new stuff. So between the two of us, we're probably, you know, each of us are tweeting about 5 or 6 times throughout the week, and then retweeting each other, of course. And then, you know, we both have Facebook presences as well. So we're definitely getting it out there in that way. The thing that I haven't done yet that I plan to do is to create a separate Twitter feed for the podcast and mm-hmm. a separate Facebook page for the podcast. So we're sort of maximizing, you know, the exposure that it gets.
Oh yeah. I always look out for shows that have their own Twitter account as well.
Yeah. I think there's some benefit to that. It's just like I said, it's a bandwidth issue at this point. Just got to figure out how to do it.
Yeah.
Or not how to do it, but how to get the time to do it.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot involved with promoting a podcast as well as doing the podcast and getting it out there.
Yeah, it can be. But we're used to promoting, you know, the individual blog posts, so it's not a whole lot different than that. So, you know, it's just sort of it's a similar model in terms of just, you know, we do the same thing with the posts where we'll tweet about a single post 3 or 4 times, sometimes with different spins on it, not just the title of the post, but also, you know, other elements of it, a different take on it, so that people... Little teaser just to get people interested.
Right. You know. Put out different ideas of the content in it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Have you considered putting tweets out before the episode goes out saying like who the guest is going to be?
We do that periodically. Okay, yeah. Good. That sometimes happens. And also, you know, we're making sure that we're tweeting people that we're interviewing are political people. So almost all of them have Twitter accounts themselves. Mm-hmm. So when we're tweeting them, we're putting their Twitter name on the tweet as well so that then they can tweet it to their followers. Some of these people have, you know, hundreds of thousands of followers. So
exactly. It turns into a big circle that way.
Yeah, it does. You know, really when John good. Dingell tweets it, it's like, oh, wow. You know, a lot of people listen to that one.
That'll help you out.
Totally. So at some point, if we would consider probably doing sponsored ads on Facebook and things like that and sponsored tweets and stuff. But right now, I sort of feel like we're in the if you build it, they will come kind of mode. So we're not doing anything to monetize it right now. We're just focusing on, you know, building an audience. And that's sort of been the model for the blog as well. Mm-hmm. I started out doing a lot of ads and stuff, and we do almost no ads now. It's all just building a community and then relying on them, sort of the NPR model, to support what we do. And so far it's working.
Good. I didn't realize that it was 2 people. Because I think I read the title, The Sit Bin Room with LOL GOP. And in my head, I just read that as the guest because I've known who, like I've known that Twitter handle for probably as long as it has existed. So I figured that was a guest. I didn't realize it was your co-host.
Yeah, yeah. Jason is the smartest political person I know, actually. So he's got a mind for politics in terms of taking complex ideas and distilling them down into short, pithy expressions, and he's hilarious on top of it. So I've always found the most that I just generally feel that in order to be truly funny, you have to be hyper intelligent. So I put him in that category.
That's a very nice compliment.
Yeah, well, he deserves it.
So I know that you have a big team, and is it really just the two of you and with your wife kind of spurred in there as well, working on just the podcast and everyone else's blog?
Yeah, the podcast is
blog.
Generally just Jason and I. In fact, Jason, you know, Jason and I come up with the ideas, and we, you know, we take turns, or we come up with different ideas for the guests and stuff. I'm handling all the technical parts of it, which is basically taking the MP3 and then turning it into, because we record the interviews as a separate thing, and then we do and that there's a little ending part of it that goes with it. So I'm taking the podcast, and then I'm splitting that off, the front part of it off, and then I'm splicing in the interview, and then the tail end piece, and then there's an intro and outro music as well. So I handle all of the sort of technical parts of it, and mm-hmm. it's basically my blog, so I'm the owner of the blog, so I do all the uploading of the files.
You're all on the back end then.
Yeah, definitely. Cool. So I'm the color commentator. I'm sort of the, I don't know how exactly I put it. Jason does the color commentary, and I do the straight guy kind of stuff.
Because
he's 10 times more funny than I am.
So. So if you're the back end guy, well, you obviously already use PowerPress because you said that you uploaded to PowerPress and then decided to upload to Blueberry instead. But is there anything else that you enjoy or even hate about PowerPress. I really like to hear what people don't like about PowerPress.
Boy, I have to say that, I went into this thing, I spent a year going, I want to do a podcast. Jason, mm-hmm. I want to do a podcast. Let's do it. And not having the faintest idea how to do it. And I'd say the primary reason that I was able to jump into it as quickly as I was is because PowerPress just makes it so damn easy to do it. And once you get all the URLs for iTunes and for, Stitcher and all that stuff built into it, or not Stitcher, but
directories.
Right. Once you get that all loaded in, after that, it's like turnkey. So it really simplifies my life. And the uploading through the Blueberry website, separate from the app itself or the plugin, is only because I'm too dumb to not touch that button and stop it. So it has nothing to do with Blueberry. I guess if I had a complaint, it would be, don't make it so easy to stop it by accident in the middle of an upload. But basically, when I'm uploading, then I'm going in and I'm creating the show notes for it. I do links to all the things that we talk about and stuff like that. So I need to be able to actually use my browser and get in there and tinker around with the actual post itself. So that's the main reason I do the other part of it. But it really is just simplified everything, And I was having some problems originally. And, I worked with one of the tech folks there and, just really quickly got my problems sorted out. So since then it's been easy sailing for me, thankfully, because that's like the last thing I would need is to have to fight the plugin in order to get this thing up. I need this to be like easy and flawless because I'm on such a tight schedule with it.
Yeah, I can't imagine trying to fight with a WordPress plugin at 6 a.m. when you're trying to get this out before you have to go to work.
Exactly.
I don't really function at 6 a.m., so I can feel your pain if this was not going well.
So I really, and I don't have experience with other ways of doing this, but I would just say that, I've had very little problem and I consider it to be a pretty good value from what I'm getting from it. So,
you mentioned,
I'm not here to give you guys a plug, but I will give you a plug because it's a good plugin. And I use a lot of different plugins in WordPress. And this is one that's been the least troublesome for me in some ways.
Well, what other things are you using in conjunction with the podcast? Are there any, or is it just kind of WordPress plugins?
It's just Blueberry. Wow. And WordPress.
Okay, then.
Or PowerPress. So, it really is all I need.
Good.
And I know Blueberry is sort of going through some transition with their stats and stuff, and I look forward to them to having that sorted out. But
as do I. We're working on stats, and I have a little bit of an update for you. We are also slowly but surely working on our uploader as well for PowerPress. So
yeah, I would say that would be like the weakest link, I guess, of the whole thing is that. But it works.
Well, good. I'm really glad that it's all working out for you. And you mentioned to me how many downloads you're getting, and you are doing very well for episode 20. So keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah, we'll do that. So I use the player, the Blueberry player, the PowerPress player. Mm-hmm. And what I found was that it doesn't list the title of the podcast. And so I talked to the tech folks and they said, okay, what you can do is go and, take the embed and put that in there. And so I did that and I just took out the other one. And I realized when I did that, it literally took it off of iTunes and everything else. It all just disappeared off the internet. So
right.
If you go to our show notes for each episode, it's got the player at the top. And the embed actually does have, when you embed the code for the player, it actually does show the title of the podcast. And then at the very end is the player a second time, but this one is without a podcast or without the title. It just has the title of the podcast itself, not the episode. So I guess if I was going to tell you something that I don't like about it, it would be that I think that you should have, the automatic one that goes into the post automatically should have the episode title in it rather than the podcast title or both.
See, I completely agree with that, and I am fairly certain there is a way to do that, or that we are working on a way to do it for the future.
Yeah. That would be good, I think. So right now, if you go to the show notes, which is basically a blog post, mm-hmm. it's got two players, one at the top and one at the bottom, and the one at the top is the one with the title on it.
I know. I think in my head I might be mixing what is actually in production for our player and what I have just tested. Like at Blueberry. So
gotcha. Generally speaking, most of the people are listening through iTunes or one of the other platforms.
That's not surprising.
Yeah.
At all.
No, that's why I listen to it.
Yeah, I listen to all of my podcasts on the iTunes podcast app on my phone.
Yeah, same here. I have like a half an hour drive to work every morning, so that's the way.
As do I.
Nice. It's a way to, you know, because I do. Sometimes I listen to our podcast a couple of times because I'm listening for, you know, what did we goof up? What could we do better? You know, maybe I shouldn't click my pen as much. Maybe I shouldn't, you know, slurp my beer as loudly. I don't know. Shut the damn dog up, that kind of thing.
I've done the same thing where I've kind of stopped doing certain things, or I'll try to make myself do something differently, because when you listen, when you have to edit your own show and you hear the same thing happening week after week, and if you hate it enough, you will start to train yourself to not do it.
It's true. That's true. Like saying a lot, or little tics you might have, or whatever habitual things that you do.
Exactly.
The ironic thing is that Jason, my partner in this podcast, does not listen to podcasts. He hates hearing his own voice. He has yet to listen to a single podcast. We've done 20 of them. He hasn't listened to any of them.
I think that stops a lot of people from actually doing a podcast.
Maybe that's it.
You know, it also happens in editing. I've gotten to the point where I know what a long breath is going to look like, and I can just delete it without actually having to listen to it, or what most likely will be an or and something like that.
So what do you do? What are you using to edit your podcast?
I use Audition, which is Adobe.
So I might have to consider. Right now I'm just using GarageBand because it's the only thing I have, and I haven't upgraded to anything else. So
GarageBand definitely works. It's just a matter of, what do you feel comfortable with, and are you comfortable moving on to something else after you've learned one thing?
It's interesting because Jason, in his normal everyday talking, comes across on audio way louder than I do. Mm-hmm. Even if I'm like, you know, deliberately trying to speak more, you know, with more volume. And so I've learned to like position the because we're using a single, we're using the Zoom H1 microphone, and I put it like a third the way to me and two thirds away from him. And that's the only thing that works.
That works though.
It does work. It does. But I still end up adjusting. That's the one thing that I really want to make. I want to make a switch so that we're both individually mic'd, and whoever we're talking to on the phone is individually mic'd, so that, because if I didn't have to go in and adjust audio, you know, like just everybody's volumes as we talk back and forth, it would probably knock a half an hour off on my processing time. So,
and probably your stress level. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just boring, and I worry about it. But if I don't do it, he ends up, you know, overpowering my voice. And when it gets mixed down to an MP3, it, you know, I sort of disappear, basically.
It's not fun to listen to that way.
No, it's not. Not if you got to keep turning your radio up and down to hear somebody.
Exactly.
Well, I'm getting better at it, so we'll see.
Good. Well, I'm really happy to talk to you about your blog. It's eclectablog.com, and there will be a link in our show notes for this. And thanks for sharing everything about it. Is there anything else you wanted to bring up?
Nope. I just, you know, I'm looking forward to, you know, one of the things we're going to push at our fundraiser this year is, you know, one of the things that your money will go to is upgrading the equipment so we can do this even more professionally. So that's the next step for us, is to upgrade the equipment a little bit so it sounds a little more professional.
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah.
We have one more article to talk about, and it is called The New Expert Platform, Using Podcast Interviews for Thought Leadership Marketing. A lot of words that I didn't really care about until I read the article.
Nice. Yeah, this is an article largely for people that are trying to get onto podcasts.
Yes.
So that was an interesting perspective. And I have had people approach us saying, hey, how about me being on your podcast? And we're like, oh, you know, we got it all figured out. Thanks. So it was interesting to see, you know, the other side of like, how do you pitch yourself to a podcaster so that they will agree to have you on their show?
And that's essentially what this was, saying that you need to find your niche, and that this is super smart for you to do if you're trying to become known as an expert in your field for something.
Right. Exactly.
Because podcasting is super simple, and you don't have to be on TV, and you don't have to get someone to book you to be on TV on a book tour or something like that. Hand,
you know, you can do it on your back porch with the wind chimes.
Exactly. Super easy.
Yeah, it is. For example, in Michigan, we're going to have a governor's race in 2018, mm-hmm. and like three people have already declared for, you know, the Democratic. They're going to run, you know, the Democratic primary for governor, and so we're interviewing two of them over the next couple of weeks, and so it was a very easy ask because they want to be on our podcast. We are literally the major political, you know, website in the state. And so they know this is a great way for them to reach the people that they want to reach for the primaries. For us, it was an easy ask. It's for them. It's like, hey, how do I get on your podcast? What do I got to do? What do I got to do?
Exactly. This is already happening for you.
It is. So, yeah, that's awesome.
So that's pretty relevant. And that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. So it's interesting. And I never really considered that people in the corporate world, for example, would want to get on a podcast and talk about their product or their services or whatever. That's, you know, that's exactly what he's talking about here.
It's just like radio people would do. Comedian that's going to be playing in so-and-so tonight is going to be on the radio that morning. And this is
right.
People are on the podcast, you know, and then they release the episode. And 5 days later, that comedian plays in your city. So
exactly. I think it's a smart approach to become seen as sort of the thought leader or the person who's an expert at this thing, you know, and then, you know, finding the podcast that talk about that thing so that you can make yourself the expert, you know, and when people see you as being pitched as the expert, it's sort of self-fulfilling.
Exactly. And that, you know, in turn makes you an expert.
Right.
Because, you know, everyone that's on a podcast as seen as that expert is not actually an expert. But if they do this enough, they will turn into it.
But they know
it.
More than you do, so that's all it needs to be. That's the definition of an expert, somebody who knows a little more about something than you do.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It ended with the sentence, "These characteristics make being featured on podcast interviews one of the best new expert platforms available today." What's the next expert platform going to be? Hosting your own podcast?
I don't know, like live holograms in your bedroom or something.
I guess.
I don't think that that's, you know, I think that you have to be on what is seen as at least partially as a third party. You know, otherwise it's just self-serving. It's just a commercial. But if you can get somebody else to ask you the questions, then, you know, it gives you more legitimacy, I guess.
It's very true. It's hard to be seen as an authority figure when you're the only person talking.
Yeah, unless you're doing like tutorials or things like that, where you're like, you know, teaching people how to do things. That's different, I suppose. Yeah.
It did mention companies specifically using audio clips from these podcasts and putting them on their website and everything to help with the brand and culture that people associate your company with. So,
yeah, it's basically leveraging a podcast and, you know, ways to basically make yourself more commercially successful.
Oh yeah,
which is interesting. Never really thought about that. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, for us as political bloggers, if people will start either excerpting clips or at least, you know, directing people to say, hey, we talked about, you know, this issue here and go listen to us. So we'll see about that.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be a mark of our success, I suppose, if people start doing that.
It does mention the number of people that are listening to podcasts or the number of shows that have been hosted.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And it's growing like crazy. So
yeah, I mean, it said 28,000 in 2015. I'll bet it's pushing twice that now.
It's got to be a lot. I honestly don't even know what the answer is. I feel like I should because I
know people that listen to podcasts at like twice the speed so they can listen to more podcasts. I mean, that's like, you know, people are like really into podcasts.
I know. I know a lot of people who have done that actually just because they don't like the way that someone talks slowly. So there's that as well.
I couldn't do it. I couldn't listen to fast talk.
I think I would just kind of get a little bit of a headache from it or think that they are very annoying when really they're not.
Right.
So I don't think I'm meant for that either.
Yeah, I don't think so either. But I do think that in general podcasts are growing because it's like listening to a radio show, but you can do it whenever you want to and you can stop it and come back to it. I mean, that's the beauty of a podcast.
You know, and the number of radio shows that are saving their content to put out a podcast later that day is just
I'd say
growing crazy.
Public radio is like the best at that. I mean, pretty much every public radio show that there is, you can listen to as a podcast.
It's pretty great.
Yeah, it's cool.
So
who are, just real quick, who are the, I mean, do you have any really major names using the word, the PowerPress plugin? I mean, is this something that's used or is this new enough that people are still adopting it?
Well, it's got over 50,000 people using it.
No kidding. That's amazing.
Yeah. It's been 8, maybe 9 years. I think Angelo said that it came out in August. So I think in August of 2017, it will be 9 years. So we've got a lot of people using it. one of the most popular or kind of biggest networks to use it is BuzzTV.
Gotcha. Is that part of BuzzFeed?
No, it is not. BuzzTV's been around longer than BuzzFeed, but they have, I think, a couple hundred feeds, or at least they have.
Wow.
Total. I don't know if that's how many they have going on right now, but they've
that's impressive.
A lot going on. And okay, a very quick PowerPress tip, and this necessarily isn't a tip, but we released a update last weekend, so around the 20th of February 2017, to 7.0.4. Fairly certain that was the number, and if it's not, sorry. But it was a very minor update to PowerPress, but helpful to some people. Go ahead and read the changelog information, and it'll tell you if it's important for you to do, and if not, just kind of use your discretion if you'd like to update to that.
I'm obsessive about my plugins. I update everything like the instant they become available, which sometimes messes with me because they end up there's a glitch that I could have waited on, but...
I feel like I get myself into a hole sometimes when I update to things, but I don't read what the update is for, and then I don't know what is happening, and I get angry. There's a significant change, and I just didn't read it. It's really my fault, but I still get mad.
Right, nice.
So we try to give people a little bit of background information and give them, you know, supply them that info before they freak out. Because we will get tickets about why something is not working. And then a lot of the time it's...
Well, if you'd read the log. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of the time that happens, but it also doesn't matter because we expect it. And, you know, that's what you prepare for.
Yep, exactly. Keeps the developers busy.
Yeah, it definitely does. Okay, I don't know what else to say about experts.
Yeah. I have very little perspective other than as a consumer of experts. So.
Yeah. Chris, thank you for being on the show today and sharing information about your show and talking with me about all of these different things.
Well, thank you, Mackenzie. It's been a really fun time talking to you.
Yeah. Everyone, thanks for listening to this episode of the PowerPress Podcast. You can find our show online at powerpresspodcast.com. And please subscribe and review, and we'll see you next episode.
Bye-bye.